From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz-Peña with your state and local news update. Norwegian Cruise Line Holdings announced today that it's donating $10 million across six Alaska port towns, Ketchikan, Juneau, Hoonah, Sitka, Skagway, and Seward. In its written announcement, NCL Holdings says it's making the donation offers directly to each port community to provide humanitarian relief from the ongoing cruise suspension. The announcement didn't include the specific dollar figures for each community, and a company representative could not immediately be reached for comment. But the Sitka Assembly took action last week to accept an offer for $1 million, and Juneau City Manager Rory Watt says the capital city will be offered $2 million.
I'm just taking it as a just sincere, good faith effort to try to be helpful. And, you know, I think it gets really good symbolic value for them as well.
Watt says NCL officials began discussing the donations with him in the fall, well before the news broke out that some locals were trying to limit cruise ship traffic in Juneau through ballot initiatives. Watt says there are no strings attached, but the Juneau Assembly will have to accept the money. The cruise industry as a whole has been mostly unable to sail during the pandemic. But pandemic aside, NCL has been making big infrastructure investments in Southeast Alaska. That includes in Hoonah, Ketchikan, and Juneau.
You know, they're definitely taking the long view and they're trying to develop a system.
The holding company operates Norwegian Cruise Line, Oceania Cruises, and Regent Seven Seas Cruises. The company says it is working through the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's process to resume cruises by July 4th. It says mandatory vaccinations of all guests and crew are the cornerstone of its plan. And in related news, the locals who want to limit cruise ship traffic in Juneau can begin collecting signatures to get their three proposals on the next municipal election ballot. KTOO's Jeremy Shea went to City Hall on Monday when the lead sponsor picked up the official signature booklets.
Carla Hart is leading the push to limit the cruise industry in Juneau.
May I borrow this hand truck?
I was going to say, let's walk the hand truck out.
Thank you.
City Clerk Beth McEwen helped deliver 225 official signature gathering booklets to Hart's Honda hatchback outside City Hall. Volunteer Steve Krall got the first few booklets.
You can be number one, eh, Steve?
Oh, boy, that's exciting.
Yeah.
It's a great thing for somebody who doesn't like talking to people to be doing.
Well, you could be number two if you want.
Hart says that sentiment is pretty common among the volunteers.
A lot of people who do this, including myself, are driven by our passion, but it's not necessarily in our nature walking out and talking to lots of people.
Right. If they support these limits, it's in part because they're not into big crowds. Hart is proposing three amendments to the city's charter targeting cruise ships. One would make Juneau off limits to them between 7 p.m. and 7 a.m. One would ban them on Saturdays. And one would ban ships over a certain size beginning in 2026. If all three were in effect next year, the local opposition group Protect Juneau's Future has roughly estimated they would cut passenger visits to Juneau to a quarter of what's expected. The group says the lost cruise ship traffic would have ripple effects beyond the visitor industry, including lost tax revenue that pays for city services the entire community benefits from. Hart says the lost passenger estimate assumes the cruise lines wouldn't rotate in smaller ships, and that cruise lines with smaller ships wouldn't fill openings the bigger ships give up. Hart says it also assumes sudden changes, but if voters approve the size limit, it wouldn't take effect until 2026.
Their job is to make the sky fall, and or to make it appear that the sky will fall. I don't believe that it will.
For each of the three proposed ballot questions, Hart and her volunteers will need to get nearly 3,000 qualified signatures by June 2nd. To be valid, a signature must be from someone registered to vote who's lived in Juneau for at least 30 days before signing. The questions could appear on ballots in the next regular municipal election on October 5th. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
In other news, a World War II-era tugboat that had gone from a familiar landmark in Juneau's Gastineau Channel to a derelict nuisance is sitting on the ocean floor. As Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, the Coast Guard and Juneau Port officials recently worked together to send the lumberman to its watery grave.
It was a foggy Sunday morning when the 80-year-old tugboat left Gastineau Channel for the last time. The lumberman was towed by a Coast Guard cutter for her last trip out to sea. The black and yellow tug had long been a familiar sight in Juno's inland waters. She'd arrived in the late 90s from Puget Sound. She'd changed hands several times, decaying over the years to become a rustic liveaboard that skirted local laws.
When it first showed up, it was kind of illegally placed off the Harbor Breakwater, and we had a dispute with the owner at the time that he couldn't be there. He claimed that he was on state lands and had the right to be there.
That's Juno's port director, Carl Yucatel. Anchored on city-owned tidelands outside the harbor, she sat in a jurisdictional no-man's land that was out of reach of local officials. The lumbermen could often be seen from the highway with a collection of skiffs moored to her rusting hull. The vintage tug became a magnet for people unable to find shelter in a community that's long struggled with a lack of affordable housing.
Of course, there was that unfortunate accident where two people perished going out to the lumbermen.
He's referring to a December 2017 accident when a skiff carrying five people and a dog overturned while heading out to the tugboat. Two men were never found. The city later moved to condemn the 192-ton vessel, and that's after she broke her anchor chain and moved off state-owned tidelands. But then came the question of whose responsibility she was. The owner was long out of the picture. The state didn't want her. The Coast Guard didn't consider her a navigation hazard, and it cost too much to scrap her, so she sat for more than a year, abandoned, tied to a city dock.
This is just the typical, you know, poster child of what a derelict vessel is, where people aren't responsible with their vessels, passing them from one person down to another, and the difficulties for all harbor masters and port directors throughout the state and, frankly, throughout the country in dealing with troubled vessels.
To date, the city spent about $160,000 to clean and prep and ultimately scuttle the ship. The Coast Guard had also spent close to $70,000 to remove hazardous materials. Still, nobody really wanted to sink her. Juno's docks and harbors even appealed to the public for ideas for what could be done with the hulking beauty.
Most all the suggestions were what you should do is, and, you know, fill in the blank, you know, fish and chips shop at Sandy Beach or a community flower garden, you know. There was never an organization that said, I'll take it over, I have some funding, I will do this.
That was 3 years ago. And all that time, it would remain the city's problem. Then last fall, federal regulators issued a permit greenlighting sinking the ship in about 8,400 feet of water. The plan called for her to be towed about 55 miles west of Cross Sound. Yucatel worked with a salvage firm to rig the tugboat with remotely opening valves that could flood the 107-foot tug at a flick of a switch.
We had consulted with a naval architect to make sure that the vessel would indeed flood and sink at the proposed spot.
The salvage crew headed out early Sunday, and at first everything went according to plan. But Coast Guard Chief Petty Officer Kip Wadlow says that the flooded vessel didn't completely sink. Her bow continued to bob up and down, protruding from the water's surface.
And then the Coast Guard cutter John McCormick, a 154-foot Coast Guard fast response cutter, used its 25-millimeter deck gun to complete the sinking.
Within 15 seconds, the waters of the Pacific close over the ship as she sinks to the ocean floor. An inglorious end to the saga of the lumberman that Sunday afternoon. In recent years, Juno's assembly has since tightened up its anchoring rules on city-owned tidelands, and the legislature passed a law requiring boats to be titled to tighten up the chain of ownership, all in the name of cracking down on derelicts and sparing them the notoriety of becoming a public nuisance like the 80-year-old lumberman tugboat. Reporting in Juno, I'm Jacob Resnick.
Organizers have rescheduled a Native Youth Olympics event in Ketchikan after the initial Southern Regional Games were postponed because of a COVID-19 outbreak at the high school. The Native Youth Olympics traditional games consist of 10 events inspired by hunting and survival skills of the state's indigenous people. Sea Alaska Heritage Institute organizes the games in southeast Alaska. The games were originally scheduled for this past weekend at Ketchikan High School. They were postponed after several attendees at a school-sponsored wrestling tournament tested positive for COVID-19, briefly shuttering the school. SHI says it has rescheduled the Southern Games for Saturday and Sunday, May 22nd and 23rd in Ketchikan. The Northern Regional Games are set to take place this weekend in Juneau. Organizers say all competitors will be screened and tested prior to the competition, and masks will be required. For more on this and other stories, go to ktoo.org. This is KTOO News.